Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
Most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Mass. We do this from time to time. We get an expert opinion. And there's few better than Dr. Paul Sachs. He's the clinical director at the Division of Infectious Disease at the Brigham and Women's Hospital. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Dr. Sachs, thanks for taking the time again. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Okay, it's good to hear from you again, Doctor. So this is something that we here on the show have been pushing pretty hard and pumping pretty hard and willing it to happen, the return of sports. And trying to get these teams back on the field in any way, shape, or form. And we were emboldened by Anthony Fauci the other day, who said it can happen. It is possible in empty arenas and quarantine hotels. And I remember asking you this very question a couple weeks prior, and you had said it is possible. It is feasible. And so I want to ask you now, a couple weeks after we talked to you and after hearing Fauci, do you still believe that? Have any conditions changed that would lead you to believe that that can't happen?
Well, scientifically, it can happen. The difficult part, I would think, would be for the players. You know, they have to agree to be quarantined during this period, and it's also just a massive undertaking to have all these other people involved in sports. You've got the equipment men, you've got the entire grounds crew, and I guess they're going to do it without umpires, do electronic umpires. But it's going to be a huge challenge. But from a scientific level, from a biologic basis. Yes, it's possible.
Well, doctor, is there any non-quarantine path to get this done? In other words, is there any possibility that testing becomes so prevalent that they don't need to be quarantined? They can just go home with their families, but they're subject to testing every day they walk into the building. So let's say, play the game, they detect the virus overnight, they show up the next day, they get tested, they're positive, they get kicked out of the building, and they can go on and play the game. Is there any possibility for that?
So what you're alluding to is something that we all are really hoping for, which is that testing becomes widely available and that it becomes much easier and much cheaper. And you know, there's just a matter of, find out whether you've got it. It's just a routine thing. We're still a ways off for that to happen, but it is coming. I mean, I think that's where we're headed. The other thing, of course, is that we might be able to test for antibodies, and the implications of that are very broad.
So, Dr. Sachs, that's actually what I wanted to ask you about, was the antibody testing, because as I'm sure you know, baseball has entered into an agreement with a study being conducted by, among others, Stanford to test for antibodies. Now, I don't want to get too much into the science of it because I think it's going to confuse people, but are we closer to getting reliable antibody testing and volume than we are to getting viral testing, if you follow me? In other words, is that a more likely scenario that we could get antibody testing quickly and en masse?
Well, the antibody testing, the goal would be to see how many people have had it and therefore potentially are immune. One of the big difficulties, though, is just because a person has a positive antibody test does not prove that they are completely protected from getting it again. We think they will be protected, but we don't know for sure. And that is going to have to take a little time. We're going to have to do studies, large studies, see how these things go, especially in places that had this outbreak earlier. I know that people in China are working very hard on developing models for immunity. I know a lot of people are working on it very hard in the United States. One thing that is encouraging is that antibody testing over the next month, we will see a huge increase in available antibody testing. We'll find out, I think, finally, how many people have actually had this.
Again, it's Dr. Paul Sachs from the Brigham joining us here on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I know, Maz, you had a few more questions.
Well, so what, one also relates to herd immunity and the concept of herd immunity. And you're hearing people talk about this quite a bit now, that eventually we're going to be faced with a scenario where whenever people are, whenever the country, quote unquote, opens again, that there's going to be an uptick. And ultimately, that is the best way to get immunized. Is that, what is your opinion on that?
Well, in an infection that is not quite this dangerous, that it would be fine. In some ways, that's what happened with Zika. I mean, Zika was very dangerous to the babies of pregnant women, but it wasn't a very dangerous virus to the population at large. So in tropical countries that had Zika introduced, so many people got infected so quickly that it sort of just basically kind of burnt out and then it went away. And we don't know when or if it's going to come back. We don't really expect the same thing with coronavirus. One thing that does happen with coronaviruses, I think that this is related to your question, is that, they tend to be seasonal. So we are moving out of the cold weather and into the, although you wouldn't believe it in Boston today because it was snowing this morning when I was walking my dog. But as it gets warmer, we should have a decreased transmission of coronavirus anyway. And then you add to that some degree of herd immunity, and we should see cases decline. So, but I don't think we're quite ready to open the country and get going yet, because this is still a pretty severe problem, especially here in Boston.
Dr. Sachs, so again, here in Boston, how do the hospitals look? Did it ever reach, or is it reaching critical mass where the hospitals were out of PPE, out of beds, short on ventilators, or have we kept our heads just above water?
I think we've done a really, really great job in Boston. You know, we had some warnings. Those warnings came by way of northern Italy, but came by way of Europe, came by way of New York City. So we're a bit later. That doesn't mean that it's been easy. We've completely transformed our healthcare system in the city to respond to this. But so far, and I'm going to knock wood, things are the resources are there, both for available beds and for available protective equipment. It hasn't always been easy. There's been a lot of innovation, a lot of collaboration. But we've been able to keep our heads above water, as you said.
Well, so let me jump in as a follow-up. Did the models overshoot the numbers, which some people think, or did our measures work? Did the social distancing flatten the curve? And, is that the reason?
Well, I'm gonna take the latter. I think that what we're seeing is that the social distancing has led to a diminished transmission of the virus from person to person. We've done a good job of that. You know, we've shut down all these venues. We closed the schools, et cetera. Most people seem to be paying attention to it. There's way more mask wearing in public, which is something I know we've talked about before. It's hard. It's a change in society. But I have to say, from the perspective of seeing the people who are hospitalized with this, I can tell you it's a very severe infection. We don't want this one out there very much longer. So anything we can do to slow the spread is worth doing.
Mass, you have another question before I get to some personal questions?
No, I was going to actually let Murray jump in if he wanted to, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, let me start it, and then Murray will follow up because his is in the similar vein. So let me ask you now just individually, Doctor. A couple weeks ago, someone sent me this, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen it too, this video of this doctor, I think he's in Michigan with the ponytail, on how to wash down groceries, okay? And there's, these tutorials out there on how to wash, and I watched them, and I felt like I got coronavirus just watching the video. Like, I'm like, there's no way I'm going to do this. Everything's filthy, and it sort of creeped me out. I'm never going to do this. And the next thing you know, the next time I went shopping, I created a whole triage operation in my garage. I'm washing down all my groceries. I'm wiping them all down. I'm putting my fruit in the bowl with the soapy water. Like, it's nuts. Is it really necessary? Do I really need to wipe down my groceries before I bring them into the house?
I can tell you what I do. Would that be helpful?
Yes.
Okay. So we do not wash down our groceries. What we do in our house, and I'm married to a doctor too, is that we wash our hands. We follow the things that we know really work. So we wash our hands when we come in the house. We wash our hands after we put the groceries away. And then that's it. So we do not do that. And then the fact that there are some people who are doing it, I don't want to say it's absolutely wrong, but I would say I stick with the things that we know work. And washing your hands a lot is one of them. And so okay. We wash our hands before we put our groceries away. We wash our hands after we put our groceries away.
How about packages and mail? Same thing. I got a spray of disinfectant out there and some wipes, and I wipe it down before I bring the packages and the mail into the house.
You know, it's people are going to find the virus on surfaces if they do studies, but that doesn't mean that that virus is necessarily going to transmit to a human. I mean, we know that from these studies that once a virus is on the surface, it lasts a certain amount of time, but the amount of virus on that surface declines very, very quickly. So I would not be worried so much about package transmission.
Murray?
All right, yeah, so when it comes to sanitizing, though, Doctor, are there things we're maybe overlooking? Because I look at my debit card, and everyone is using their debit card. No one really has cash anymore, I feel like. So I go to the supermarket, I use that. Should I be sanitizing that after I use it? And what about my car keys?
Well, one of the things that this experience is going to do is really going to advance, you know, touchless payments. I've noticed, at least, you know, in our hospital cafeteria, you know, way more people are using their smartphones to pay for things. It's understandable that people would be concerned. I don't want people, though, to be paranoid about these everyday items. If it makes you feel better to wipe them off with the alcohol wipe or something, that's fine. But these are not the sort of things that I think really make a big difference.
Mass. So I'm sort of fascinated with the treatments of this whole thing, Dr. Sachs, and I've read a couple of different things, one of which I found interesting the other day about the concept of quote-unquote proning, meaning that some patients apparently that they haven't been able to use respirators on, or even in some cases that they were about to use respirators on, they've been able to sit up, take pressure off the lungs, turn people on their sides, and immediately improve the oxygen level in their blood just by sitting up or turning on the side and taking pressure off the back. Does this actually work?
So it seems to work in some people, and it's actually been known about for some time. We've had in many intensive care units, including our own, we've had a team that can prone people. It actually takes quite a lot of collaboration and teamwork because the people who need to be proned are usually critically ill. You know, they're not themselves going to be easily getting on their stomachs, et cetera. And there are physiologic reasons why it might work. And someone the other day pointed out the fact that, you know, the fastest animals on the planet all use a prone position when they're running at top speed, you know, thinking of cheetahs and horses, et cetera. And someone then responded to me after I said that and said, well, what about a turtle? But I will say there are biologic and physiologic reasons why the lungs might be more efficient in transferring oxygen in that position, in that prone position. You know, one of the nurses on our floor called it tummy time for some of the patients. It actually makes some sense.
Okay, again, Dr. Paul Sachs, clinical director of infectious diseases at the Brigham. Before I let you go, I know you're probably not a modeler or into predictions or a soothsayer, but if you had to put some parameters on what it's going to look like here in the next couple of weeks and months, what would you venture to guess is what it's going to look like, and what's going to be open? How's it going to be open? Are restaurants going to be half seating with tape around tables to promote 6 feet? Are waiters and waitresses going to be wearing masks and gloves, things of this nature? What's it going to look like in the next couple of weeks and months?
Well, first we want to see a steady decline in cases because we haven't quite reached that yet. You know, we are at the point where we're still in Boston, at least seeing cases increase. And then those measures that you mentioned make some sense. You know, I really am there is I'm placing some faith in the combination of social distancing, the change in the weather, the fact that there is some community immunity. You know, remember, we're learning that a lot of young people got this infection without even knowing it. You know, so they're out there and probably immune to getting it again, probably. So all those things are going to combine, and the cases are going to go down, and then we have to make a decision of how to reenter life. So that's going to happen, as you said, over the next weeks to months. And getting back to your question about were the models wrong? Well, all the models are wrong. I mean, they're really models are just models, yep. And none of them are going to precisely predict what is going to happen in an epidemic. But I do believe that we'll see a decline soon, based on at least other cities that have experienced this already.
Maz, you have one final question?
Yeah, I do. And honestly, you've been gracious enough to join us here now for three different times. And I know you've mentioned
your sister to thank.
Well, so and believe me, I'll thank her too. But I know you're a big baseball fan, so I do feel compelled to ask you. I am very disenchanted about sort of the state of the game between pace of play and everything else. So I'm just curious, as a fan, how do you feel about the state of baseball?
There's definitely some things I would change. One thing that has always driven me crazy is the amount of time it takes to change relief pitchers late in the game and how the game slows down. That to me is just painful. And the other thing is the time between pitches. When you look at a game from the 1980s, like on YouTube, and compare it to a game recently, it's just shocking how much faster the pitch is delivered between pitches. And there was this wonderful article by this guy named Grant Brisby, I don't know if you read it, where he actually compared two games that were very similar, and he found that the major contribution to the length of the game was actually the time between pitches. So get in the batter's box, stay in the batter's box, and pitch the ball.
Dice
K. Matsuzaka, that was painful the entire time he was with us.
The big issues of our time, coronavirus and pace of play in baseball. I'm not kidding. They're up there.
Both painful.
Top three. Doctor, thank you again so much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Thanks for inviting me. It's fun.
Thank you kindly.
Again, Dr. Paul Sachs joining us here on The Horn. You can join us on that. We'll get back to the Belichick conversation. 68 years old. Starting to look at the biological clock of your coach. Open lines at 617-779-0985.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Do you also anticipate or expect Coach Belichick to coach into his 70s?
I hope he coaches till his 80s. I see Warren Buffett and Rupert Murdoch, and they're in their mid-80s, and they're performing at a pretty high level. So we got to keep Bill healthy.
Robert Kraft 2 years ago. Belichick into his 80s? No. Not anymore. In fact, if I'm the Krafts, I say, you're on the clock, pal. You're on the clock. We just let the greatest player in sports history walk out the door. Just took a hit to our brand and our business because we're putting it all on you. And, oh, by the way, you're not the easiest guy to work with. And, oh, by the way, we pay you a ton. So, no, you don't coach to 80 if you're going 7-9. That ain't going to work for very long. And 4-12 and 5-11, it's even a shorter shelf life. So Bill better be, we'll throw markers next segment. He better hit on some guys here on the Felger Maz big board at the draft this year, Maz. He better start turning around personnel-wise, or he ain't going to make it to 70, never mind 80.
Yeah, we better hit on a couple, too. I don't like the way this has been going. But that aside, Bill's obviously got his job at stake on it. And so I just think that, there was so much attention put on Brady here, particularly in the last year, and rightfully so. But now we've turned the page. And so here we go. And I think that absolutely we turn the attention to Bill. And he is now effectively doing or attempting to do the same things that Brady's attempting to do at an unprecedented age. And so can he pull it off? And I think that with that comes a great level of scrutiny. So look, I mean, they've led parallel lives in so many ways, those two guys, Belichick and Brady. And now, again, he's going to have to deal with the quarterback dealt with.
Okay. So, again, we said it for years. No one's done at the quarterback position what Brady's attempting to do. No one's done at the coaching position what Bill's attempted to do. No one's won a Super Bowl at 68, which is what he turned today. Joe in New York, your thoughts.
Hey, guys. So I just feel like Belichick and Brady have always provided this barrier between us and the rest of the league, the rest of the crap league. With Brady gone, Belichick's all we got left between us and the normal people, and I want to maintain that barrier as long as I can. But I also remember a conversation you guys had a couple months ago about how you want Belichick around as long as possible so that he can develop the next guy.
Yes, sir.
I completely agree with that.
Yo, no, I mean, I feel this way. I mean, if you're asking me, I mean, I would be patient with Bill. I'd give him the time it takes to develop the next quarterback, and I'd sort of stick with it. But that's easy for me to say. I don't have to work with him every day and cross him in the hall. And I'm not paying him whatever, $12 million a year, whatever that number is, $10 million a year. I'm not paying him like I'm paying him. That's the Crafts. And I'm also just didn't, you know, let my legacy and my brand take a hit by letting Brady walk out the door in deference for this guy. So the way the Crafts feel is differently than the way I would feel about it from the outside. And you would think that Bill has bought himself a long rope and a lot of leeway to turn it around and, you know, get this team to be a true title contender again. You would think that he would have after all that he's accomplished. I just wonder, though, Maz. I wonder. I think the dynamics with him are different. He's a different cat.
Well, again, he's just so naturally, and it's a gift to be so abrasive. Really, I mean, he's just naturally abrasive guy that he just does not have the tact. And again, I say it more as a statement of fact than I do some sort of shot at him. I mean, the guy is who he is. So at least professionally, it leaves open the chance and willingness for people to pounce on him. And this is part of the reason why a lot of people are rooting against him. He's not a terribly likable guy. And so in the case of the Crafts, I do wonder whether they are just among themselves, you know, sitting around the table, shooting the breeze, and they're talking about Bill, whether they say, yeah, Bill's good. Bill's a terrific manager. He's a great coach. But Brady's the one that gets us the Super Bowls. Like, I would really like to know at the end of the day what their sort of assessment of that is, because it would give us some indication really as to how much latitude they're going to give Bill in this thing. And I'm not sure he's going to get a ton.
Did you ever thought?
You know, who's enjoying this birthday today?
Who?
Linda.
Ooh, what do we got, Murray? Give it to me.
Well, she posted on Instagram. It's kind of it being Throwback Thursday on Instagram, don't you know, Mike? It's a couple of photos of Bill, but one that it looks like he's in his 40s in this photo. He looks kind of young and he's smiling, and it says, "Happy birthday to the love of my life."
Nice.
With like 5 exclamation points.
Nice.
"This smile, it captured my heart a long time ago," exclamation point. "The sincerity," exclamation point. "The genuineness," exclamation point. Come on. "And all the fun we have together," another exclamation point.
I mean,
can't wait to make...
Sorry, Murray, I'm sorry.
"Can't wait to make more memories. Happy 68. 3 heart emojis."
Love I thought it. You were done, Murray. He should be sending that to her, for crying out loud. Because talk about the greatest wins of his career. He's in way over his skis with her. Way in over his skis. Have you taken a good look at him?
And she's lovely. Outkicked his coverage on that, for sure. Like many of us, frankly. Not going to hold that against him. But... yeah, happy, Bill. Happy birthday, buddy. See you on the island this summer. Here's Todd in Plymouth. Hi, Todd.
Hey, how's it going? I just had a quick question or a comment. So the Patriots win. No matter how old Brady gets. So my question to you guys is, now that Belichick doesn't have the greatest player of all time, do you think maybe he's going to put more time, homework, emphasis into the drafts? Because kind of he could have taken the back seat the last couple of years because, well, if I don't do a good draft, I got the greatest quarterback of all time. So I want to know, like, with his age, if you think maybe he just didn't put the homework in and now he's going to be forced to, if that's going to change your opinion on how he's going to do. How
okay.
about your opinion?
So I don't think that the drafts have slumped the last couple of years because he put in less work. It's possible. I think, you know, going so late into the season hurts. Where, you know, like, for example, when you lose in the first round of the playoffs, you have a whole extra month to start prepping for the draft versus going to the Super Bowl. So I think that's going to help him. And I don't think that, and I don't think a lack of effort hurt him before. I think he's just in a slump, which he has had before at the draft. And if given time, should work his way out. That's what I think. But it's possible that it's passed him by at that level, because that happens at that age. So we're going to find out the next couple of years. That's what the next couple of years are going to tell us. But what I do think is this, that he's going to be motivated this year. Just like Brady's motivated down in Tampa to prove himself to Bill or himself or whoever he's got to prove himself to, all the teams that wouldn't give him a contract offer this offseason, Bill is going to be a motivated coach. And because I think he cares more about the legacy thing than Brady does. We've been over this. And so what does a motivated coach look like? I hope we're about to find out, Maz.
Oh, listen, you know, I think in a lot of ways that this is his 2014 that Brady was. He's going to get goosed a little now because the focus does turn to him. And when I say his 2014, that was the year Garoppolo was drafted. Brady's play had been slipping, and not that Bill's coaching has been slipping, but I think there have been some things that popped up, specifically that Butler decision in the Super Bowl against Philly that you look at and go, what the hell were you thinking with that one? Like, has your ego gotten so big that you can't even focus on playing a player in a game? You got to put some sort of petty self-interest ahead of it, because that's what it felt like. And now, so maybe again, now Brady's gone, Bill's recharge, and I think there's a chance that he's as locked in as ever in 2020.
Mike in Worcester, quickly, please. Michael?
Hello?
Yep, you're on.
Yes, sir. Murray, I can't agree more with you. With he hit the jackpot with her, whether he sold her, whether he sold Brady the tonic water or whatever. God bless him. If I see him naked, I puke. Second of all, my main question is, they haven't asked any of the veteran players like Slater, Hightower, McCourty's, how do they feel? Are they going to play as hard for Stidham as they did for Brady? I mean,
to start, yes, I just have to cut you off. Yes, to start, they will. And I think that Bill... Look, normally those guys would be gone or taking pay cuts or things like this, and he hasn't had. They're all making their money, and so Bill's bought their loyalty, and he'll have it to start. If they're 1-5, and Stidham, you know, can't throw it in the ocean, then let's see what that all looks like. But to start, he should have full buy-in. I think he will,
and he does right now. He does. I think.
Back to Bill outkicking his coverage. He should. I mean. He's freaking Bill Belichick. He should outkick his coverage. I'm not telling you from a look standpoint, you know, he's outkicked his coverage, but he's got a ton of money. He's highly accomplished. If he can't outkick his coverage, Maz, we have no hope.
Oh, listen, I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying, you know, I'm trying to compare apples to apples. We're just talking the physical part of it now.
I want to know how Murray outkicked his coverage. That's the bigger mystery to me.
Please, so did I. I mean, don't kid yourself. Like, I way overkicked my coverage. And Murray, please. Murray kicked it out of the stadium.
I'll just say that our wedding vows are she had to take me in thickness and in health.
Okay. Speaking of which, here comes the update with Murray. When we come back, the big board returns. We'll throw for safeties.
Big board!
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mere cup, but you are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
A 98.5 to Sports Hub.
Oop. Jake Biquette from Arkansas.
Okay. If they pick a Z receiver, it's going to be Aaron Dobson out of Marshall.
The New England Patriots select Aaron Dobson, wide receiver, Marshall.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, wow!
What does that mean, Maz? Is that good or is that bad?
Oh, I heard rumors about him.
What kind of rumors?
That he was on their radar.
With the 67th pick in the 2014 NFL Draft, your New England and my New England Patriots select Jimmy Garoppolo.
Trey Flowers out of Arkansas.
Number 101 overall, the New England Patriots select Trey Flowers.
God!
Cyrus Jones from Alabama.
Oh, Nick Saban connection.
He's projected as a fourth-round pick.
With the 60th selection, the New England Patriots select Cyrus Jones.
Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, God.
North Carolina State projects as a fourth-round pick.
If his name's Jacoby, he's soft.
That guy has no shot.
The New England Patriots.
here at number 91, Jacoby Brissett, a quarterback.
Isaiah Wynn from Georgia.
With the 23rd pick, the New England Patriots select Isaiah Wynn, tackle, Georgia.
Hakeel Harry?
Oh, N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal?
The New England Patriots select N'Keal Harry, wide receiver, Arizona State.
Jojuan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jojuan Williams from Vanderbilt.
I think it's Jawan.
It's looks like it's Jojuan.
The champs select Jawan Williams, DB, Vanderbilt.
All right, it's that time again. Belgium has big board. 2.5 week lead up until the NFL draft, which comes you a week from tonight. A week from tonight. Working our way into more interesting positions as we go. Tonight, safeties, which Maz, I think, is a position of need. I would not have a problem with them drafting a safety 23 overall if there's a guy there.
Yeah, look, again, they obviously let Harmon go. McCourty's getting up there. Chung's beat up a little bit. They could use a body there. I don't think there's any question.
Okay, I want it to be a playmaking safety, though. I don't need another deep center fielder. As good as McCourty is, I need some impact. I need some playmaking. Anyway.
And I wouldn't take it in the first round, just my 2 cents, but go.
Oh, okay. I don't care where it comes. I need an impact safety, and if that comes at 23, that's fine with me. The Felger and Maz Big Board is presented by the Peterson School. Online learning opportunities at petersonschool.com. Maz is decked out in his Peterson School garb at his home office there in the suburban Boston. Maz, tell me what you got set up there today.
Okay, so the first two times I've thrown, you know, I told you I'm reasonably accurate with darts, and we flip the pages over, but frankly, I think our big board sucks. Okay, we got a bad draft board right now. So the way we typically do it is you will open it up to like page one of the magazine and you say, we're going to take one from here. And then you'll turn to page two and say, we're going to take one from here.
That's right.
Right? Okay. So I don't think we've been doing that aspect justice. So I did break it up and I put the top guys on the left side, the top on the next page on the right. I'm going to throw one to each side and then the third one wherever I feel like it.
Awesome. Hit them.
Okay. Because we got to get some players on this board. We got like the Bob Sosi, Pop Warner team out there.
I know.
For crying out loud. We got all these Lilliputians.
They're either short, slow, or they give up on plays. Our board, yeah, you're right, Maz. Our board blows at this point. Murray, you had a quick thought?
Yeah, I don't like you guys mocking the big board. This is when the big board will strike back and we'll end up getting nobody. That's the most important thing. Doesn't matter if any of these players can play. It's that we get them.
Well, this is true. Murray, thank you for reminding us what's really important. Our takes, just so we're right. Like that's right. What we don't get. They're right. We just want to be right. All right,
Belichick's not that stupid. We got to get some players.
Okay, go ahead, NBC Sports Boston. Could you set the shot, Maz, before you go, just to make sure that Maz, as usual, has a 2-camera shoot. All right, Maz, go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Again, you can get a up close and personal look at the big board. Oh, there's one. I would take that guy number 4. There we go. There's two.
Yeah, you nailed him right in the.
Ooh, nice.
Schmitzer.
Oop, missed. Hold on, I'll go get one and throw it again. Hold on.
Okay, Jesus. Okay,
you set such a high standard that first day. That
I
you
know,
nailed
he's like
with
a
the darts.
Dart master over there. Now he's missing everything. Murray, quick thought. You could. Never mind. Hold on. Maz is racing back. He's got it back. Go ahead, Maz. Hit something, would you please?
All right, here we go.
Okay, you hit something there. That was a square shot right there. Okay, Maz is going to go collect. Tell us the names. We'll read you the write-ups on them. Murray, do you think safety is a position of need?
It is. It is in terms of depth, like other areas on the defense that I want to see them address. And there is a couple of guys that they could have. They could potentially get around 23 that I think that could help. That could be a playmaking safety. One of which I couldn't believe. It's Antoine Winfield Jr. He's at Minnesota. And when I heard the name, too, and was reading up, I was like, wait a minute. It can't be Antoine Winfield, the son of Antoine Winfield.
You know, it is. He's good.
Yeah, but drafted, like, in 99. It feels like that just happened. It just made me feel a million years old.
Well, you are a million years old. but I've actually watched that player a little bit. I do.
Yeah, he's good.
I do watch a little Big Ten football with the Badgers and whatnot. And Winfield popped when I saw him. He did pop. And that's a guy who profiles because he's, you know, a player's son and, like, that sort of thing. I think it would work for Belichick. Maz, what do we get?
Okay, we got Ashton Davis. He's number 4 in your magazine of California.
I got
Ashton
it.
Davis. Right.
You ready, Ashton Davis?
And that's with a Y, I believe.
That's right. A-S-H-T-Y-N, Ashton Davis. 6'1", 195. He's a former walk-on who started 32 games. All right, his strengths, speedy, instinctive, and hard-hitting free safety whose maniacal playing style will endear him to coaches and teammates.
Okay. Love it.
A maniacal free safety. I like that very much. Weaknesses. Reliable open field tackler, but takes risky angles in pursuit and fails to wrap up completely. That's not good. Most of his hits are delivered with enough force to knock ball carriers to the ground, but he will need to improve in this area against the bigger, stronger, and more balanced opponents he'll face at the next level. Davis's Tasmanian devil playing style does result in some mistakes in coverage, with savvy NFL quarterbacks sure to attempt to bait him with pump fakes. You know what? I'll still take it. Aggressive, looks like he's athletic, playmaker. All to Ashton Davis. I feel good about this guy. Put him on the board, Maz.
Okay, our next one, number 8, DeMarcus Acy of Missouri.
Okay, stand by. DeMarcus Acy of Missouri. Stand by. I read the blurbs from the other magazine because they're goofier. DeMarcus Acy. All right, hold on. He's not even listed here.
I don't think this is a guy that's slated as like one of the top 10 safeties.
Give me the third guy.
J.R. Reed of Georgia.
J.R. Reed of Georgia. Okay, got him. J.R. Reed of Georgia, free safety, 6 feet, 194. Okay, he's projected as a fourth-round pick in this magazine.
Oh, good.
Strengths. He looks the part of an NFL safety with broad shoulders and a well-defined V-shaped muscle. He has V-shaped musculature, Murray.
Oh. Me too. What do makes two of us?
Well-defined V-shaped musculature. Who gives a rat's ass what letter shape his musculature is? Like, that's just a thing that Bill looks at and goes, ah, can he play football? Anyway, his strengths. Experience is evident in his play. He made all the defensive calls for the Bulldogs, frequently anticipating routes to force quarterbacks to look elsewhere. That's huge. He set defenses. I like it. I like this guy, too.
He's smart.
He's, though, a bit high in his back pedal. What does that mean, Maz? How do you, you don't crouch enough when you back pedal? You sort of
exactly. Yeah. No, again, he's a little gawky or lanky in the back pedal. You got to tighten him up a little bit.
He's got to get into a bend. So he's a little upright in his back pedal.
It's coachable.
Reed's high cut frame allows him to gobble up yardage in a hurry. He reads the action quickly, pursuing with little wasted movement. Steady, technically sound tackler with a reliable high-to-low strike zone. Okay. His weaknesses, J.R. Reed at Georgia. Reed looks like an NFL safety, but he doesn't run like one. Oh, that's great. He looks like an NFL safety, but doesn't run like one. Shows just average burst out of his cuts and acceleration. He lacks the juice necessary to play a single high role with SEC quarterbacks, unafraid of testing him deep. He requires an alley to come up to aggressively in run support, playing on his heels too often and allowing backs to come to him, sacrificing yardage to protect against big plays. So that's that. Put him on the board, J.R. Reed. Real quickly, what was the other one?
DeMarcus Acy, Missouri, 6'1", 195.
Okay,
and he's in your magazine.
Yeah, no, I know. What number was he?
Number 8.
Okay. This guy, DeMarcus Acy, he is, again, 6 feet, 195, strong points. He was a safety before making the move to corner, and the versatility will serve him well at the next level. So they like that. You know, he can play both spots or has played both spots. Acy is a better fit at safety than corner. He's long and physical with a tackle radius that allows him to finish plays. In coverage, he's most comfortable facing the backfield as the play begins, whether in off coverage or zone. Okay, weak points. He might stay outside as a zone corner, but if he kicks inside, Acy will have to show he's up to dealing with traffic as a run defender. The effort is there, but he's lanky and plays upright, making take-on skills a concern.
Bad against tight ends.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, put him on the board, DeMarcus Acy of Missouri. We've got our safeties. I wouldn't mind if they take a safety. I wouldn't mind if they take one of these guys. Felger Maz Big Board in the books. Thus concludes that portion of the program. The final word will come your way next.
Sports. Austin's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Jim.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope. So to we got a couple of pieces of sound to get to. First, to open today's show before the take started slinging, Maz had himself a bit of a mental breakdown.
All right. Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, April 16th. Felger here from our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. Maz Murray on location. You guys dialed in. You there, Murray? Maz, how
yes.
You guys doing?
Oh, upbeat and chipper.
Okay.
I mean, if you want the truth, I'm getting close to snapping.
Oh,
but
really?
Anyway, let's go.
Well, go ahead. You want to get it out?
No, I just, you know, most people have reached their limit on this thing already. I reached it a long time ago. I'm not wired like you. You know, you're a bit of a robot, frankly, and I don't say that as a criticism. I say that as a fact. But, you know, I covered baseball for a living. I went weeks without a day off and doing the same thing over and over again. And eventually I had a breaking point, and now I'm getting there.
Okay. So
I'm not taking it out on you. I'm conditioned to handle this thing is what I'm telling you.
I understand.
I'm conditioned for it. But I'm getting there.
Any better after 4 hours of slinging takes, Maz?
Yeah, it was a little bit better today.
Yeah, it usually helps getting on the air and, you know, belting out some takes. It usually
definitely, no, letting it all out. I find that I hit 2 o'clock and I get better. But I don't know, today, this morning, I was ready to start slamming my head against the wall.
Was it one particular
thing?
I'm
not joking.
Is it the kids? Is it the cooped up? The wife? What's happening over there?
No, the cooped up. Honestly, my wife has been fabulous through this thing. I can't say enough about her. The kids are kids. What are you going to do? It's part of the deal. They, you know, they have enough difficulty trying to figure it out too. I just think the whole thing today, I found myself like, you know, wanting to do something different and couldn't, and I wanted to absolutely freaking pound my head against the pavement outside. Awesome. I was ready to go up my front walk and slam my head against the walkway.
All right, let's not do that though.
Well, it also
I'm exaggerating, but you know.
It being Bill Belichick's 68th birthday today, we attempted to sing the man happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you,
Bill.
Happy birthday to you,
Bill.
Happy birthday,
dear Billy. Happy birthday to you.
Now, that was good.
It actually timed out okay.
That was that made me laugh. That was good. All right. There you go. Enough of that good time.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.